Hi there, and welcome to the Lesbian Love Podcast. This one's called Ready, Set, Go, and it's about dating. Yes, dating. Okay, so you could just go out there and start dating, but maybe it won't work as effectively as if you get yourself ready and set. I used to be a runner. I ran track, and there was a way to prepare for the race, and I'm talking at the time of the race. So you'd be standing in front of what they call the blocks, and you get yourself ready mindset-wise, you know, maybe you loosen up, you start thinking how fast you're going to go, look at the finish line. That is your preparation for being ready. Your mind is ready. Your body is ready. Then set was you positioned yourself in these blocks, which were pounded into the track, and you had your feet in a certain way, and you were all set to take off and run really fast as soon as they shoot the guns off. So that was set. And then finally, once they shoot the gun, you go. But you don't start with go. There is a process. Hey, there's also a process in dating. Now, you could just call someone up or respond to someone online and say, hey, you want to go out on a date? But I'm going to tell you that that may not be a good idea. And there's lots of reasons for that. Let's talk about ready. You want to get yourself in the right mind space. This is about your mindset. You want to get yourself in a place of neutral. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, how has your past history impacted your programming, the things you think about, the beliefs you have about dating, or even about relationships? So you might say, oh, dating sucks. Well, how are you going to show up if you think dating sucks and you're meeting a date for the first time? Probably not super excited. Now, what about your thoughts about relationships? So I'll give you an example. For me, my parents were married 54 years. My sisters are both with their original spouses. I've had two long-term relationships, 17 years and 8 years, and I'm dating. So I might be like, what's wrong with you, Pamela? You can't seem to keep a relationship going. I might question myself, shame myself, wonder, am I a loser? No. Not everybody stays in the same relationship for the duration. It's just the way it is. But you can learn from the relationships and forgive yourself for any role you played in the relationship ending. So my question to you, what do you tell yourself? And do you believe those things? Does it elevate or depress you? Is it a positive or negative thing? So obviously, if you're thinking negative things, then you're in a negative mode. That's not a good place to be if you're looking for the love of your life. What words did your ex say about you? Are you holding on to those hurtful, hateful words? Do you or did you ever believe them? Maybe they're saying, you're a jerk, you're a loser, you'll never find another girlfriend, you can't keep a girlfriend. I don't know. If they're saying that stuff, you got to let that go. If you believe it, you won't be able to let it go. They were acting out of anger. What about your upbringing? Does that at all feel judgy about where you are now? Now, if your parents weren't cool about you being a lesbian, then maybe they're like, yeah, see, you get it. You know, like you shouldn't be in a relationship with a woman because they don't last. Well, I'm here to say that there's nobody out there that's trying to help us stay together unless they're supportive of our relationship. So once you're out and you let your family know how much you love your partner, hopefully they'll be supportive and maybe even, you know, try to help you stay together when you're going through tough times. But that may not be where your family is with this. Now, if you're single, maybe again, like me, or after a long or even short-term relationship, or maybe dating for the first time, or back in the dating game after years of being single, or maybe being challenged by dating and not finding someone special, this pertains to you. We all carry baggage, and our life experiences are lessons, but only if we listen and become aware. Awareness is the key to life. So if she cheated, or you think you must not be good enough for a loyal partner, then, you know, that's what you're attracting. If you work too much and weren't available, then maybe that was the problem. If you couldn't get over whatever was keeping you both in a loving space, you may be either berating yourself or blaming her. Hey, listen, the buck stops here, okay? You got to forget all that. You got to start with a clean slate. You might do a visualization where you write all that stuff on a chalkboard or even a whiteboard in your mind. All those negative things that you believe that don't pertain to you, okay? Then you're going to take that eraser and you're going to erase all that stuff and start with a clean slate. Now, if you know that forgiveness and compassion, and that's for both of you, would change everything moving forward for sure, would you do it? So I'm going to teach you how you can do this really well. How long do you want to punish her? How long do you want to punish yourself? Is there a time limit? Like, I have a friend right now who's getting a divorce and she can't seem to get over it until all the paperwork's done. But she could choose right now to just be okay with it. I know it hurts to be betrayed because I was there. I was in those shoes. Or to have been an absent partner because I was one and I didn't realize it. But focusing on the past does nothing to move you forward unless you let it go and forgive. And I mean really forgive. So the technique is to say it, write it, or call it. So you can say it to the person in person, but let's say you're not in touch with them. You can write it and burn it, you know, into the air. Or you could actually mail it to them if you do know where they live. Or you could call. You could call them and say, hey, I just wanted to say, I'm really sorry that we didn't work. And I forgive you. And I hope you forgive me. Do you know how powerful that is? They might go, whoa. What are you forgiving me for? I didn't do anything. Don't worry about that. The idea, the intent behind this is to heal it, to clear it. You also want to look yourself in the mirror and say, I forgive you for whatever you did in that relationship. I forgive you for the things you didn't do in that relationship. And you really look at yourself in the eyes in the mirror as if you are speaking to someone else. This is such a powerful exercise. I forgive you. You did the best you could in the situation. And let that sink in. Let yourself feel that. Let yourself experience that forgiveness. If you do this with intention, you will feel differently. This process gets you to neutral. It's almost like a reset button or a program eraser. You've got all this programming in, and if you delete that programming, it's no longer impacting the way you think moving forward. And what you think causes your behaviors. All right, another technique is to list out all the wonderful things about that person that they gave you. So here's what I did. My first partner, she loved dogs and travel. Now, I love dogs too, but my mom was allergic, so I never had a dog. And then even when I was living by myself, when I moved out of my parents' house, I just felt like I couldn't have a dog because then my mom couldn't visit. But I knew that was kind of crazy. I got used to not having a dog, but she had a dog and I fell in love with dogs and I have to have a dog all the time. So she gave me the love of dogs and there's nothing like a dog, right, ladies? We love our dogs. We love our animals, our cats and our dogs. The other thing is she gave me this love of travel. We didn't travel a lot growing up. We didn't go on vacations. My dad traveled for work to Europe. So I heard all these stories and I wanted to go. I did go to Europe before I met my partner 17 years, but she instilled this travel. And it was the best thing in the world. And I just love going to all these different places and having these experiences. So thank you for the love of travel and the love of dogs that you gave me. And then my second partner, the kids, my daughters, she gave me my two daughters and my life changed forever after having them. And oh my gosh, when I think of them, my heart fills with joy and love. They are two amazing kids. And I don't know what I had to do with the way they are today, but they literally shock me all the time with their acceptance and their love and their uniqueness and their adventure and everything about them I just love. So these were incredible gifts that I will always have. And I can thank these two partners for that and forget about all the other crap. Okay, so there are two self-love exercises that I would encourage you to do. There's a mirror one and the friend list. So the next part of this is finding your amazing you. And you have to love you before you can love another, right? And we know we are programmable. So imagine you delete the bad stuff, like I said, and keep the good stuff and move on. And when you get triggered by a past memory with a current experience, you become aware of it. And it's really, really cool to just look inward and say, oh, wow, that was from the past. So I know that's not happening right now. It just reminded me of it. So it's really cool. Now, you are an amazing, deserving, wonderful you. And you need to literally decide. The mirror exercise is for you to look in the mirror and tell yourself how much you love yourself. Just say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Use your name. Say it 3 times every morning or every night. For 30 days, it works. And then the friend list. And this is from a book that I have, and I'll put it in the show notes. You can get my free ebook, which has lots more stuff in it than this. But it's just to ask your friends to give 3 words about you. So it could be fun, beautiful blue eyes, and athletic. Whatever it is, you will create this list of all the wonderful things your friends say about you. And there's probably going to be some duplicates. And if there are, you're going to know that those are your strengths, at least as far as your friends can see. It's hard for us to look at all the wonderful things about us. But when we ask our friends, it's a little easier to do that. So those are 2 of the great exercises. All right, now, your working self-love practice is really important to forgive yourself and have compassion. So let's move on to step 2. All right. Step 2 is set. These are the actual steps that you're going to take working on the behavior you might want to change and make improvements on yourself. Now, if you already, let's talk about online dating for a minute. You're going to try to make sure that you have a really great profile. And first of all, if you're dating online for the first time, you're going to need to set up a profile. And I would advise you not to go in there and just set up something haphazard, hoping you're going to get lots of people that want to connect with you and do it that way. It's kind of like writing a half-assed resume, expecting to get a great job. So don't do that. Now, I'm guilty. I did that. So when I first started dating 5 years ago, after my second relationship and I split, I was very timid about doing this. I was resistant, but I went in on one of those dating websites. I set up a half-assed profile, put a pic, and just wrote something really quick. And one of my friends said, hey, I have a friend who's interested in you, but she wants to know more about you. So can you add more to your profile? At that point, I realized I really need to have a full profile so people can decide. And the problem with what I did was I went out there not being ready and not being set. And the reality is I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to start dating and I wasn't set. So you got to be ready. And then being set is putting together a great profile. So you want the right picture. Now, I have to tell you that I see some pictures out there and I just go, oh my gosh, what were they thinking? Selfies. No, no. You can always get someone to take a picture of you. With our cell phones today, it's so easy to take a great picture. You can literally take a picture where you're trying to get the right lighting. It's easy to kind of check lighting. Have your friend take a picture of you. Have your mother to take a picture of you. So you want a couple pictures. You want a full face picture. And you want a full body picture. It's only fair that you let people know what you look like. And no judgment here, but people need to have something realistic. I don't want to see your boobs. I'm not dating your boobs. I don't want to see your cats or a sunset. I want to see a picture of your face, your body, and I want to maybe see a picture of you in some sort of an activity that you like. So I instantly know, oh, she's a runner. Oh, she likes to be at the beach. Oh, you know, whatever it is. All right. So no crazy pictures, something realistic. Got that? No selfies, ladies. Selfies in the mirror are ridiculous. All right. If you already have a profile up there, what are your pictures like? Do they fit those criteria? If not, get rid of them and put those in there. Now, some people might want to have a photo shoot. There's nothing wrong with that. Lots of people have photo shoots for their businesses, and they might have a photo shoot for their online dating because they want to capture a really nice picture of themselves. We're not all professional photographers, and a professional photographer can bring out the beauty in you. They also will tell you to wear your best colors and maybe put on a little makeup. It's not about the outside as much as it is the inside, but what will capture someone's attention is a photograph. So if you want to capture the attention of your future partner, make yourself stand out. Make the beautiful you stand out. I can't emphasize this enough. If I see a profile on there or it looks like the person doesn't care at all about themselves, then I'm not going to be interested. I want someone who cares about themselves. All right. If you're starting out, like I said, don't do what I did. Just jump on and not really put much information in there. All right. Now, the profiles. You want to write some stuff about yourself, and you don't want to do negative stuff like no couples, no guys, no this, no that. Super negative. It's a turnoff. And if you start talking about, oh, you know, I haven't been dating for years, these are going to give weirdos a glimpse of you, and they will try to take advantage of you. So just do some simple stuff. Tell them positive things about yourself. So what you bring to the table, what you want them to bring to the table, what your life looks like together, sort of visualize that. Are you traveling, exercising? Are you going to museums, cooking together, having dinner parties? Be confident you. In my course, I do some work on writing up your profile, but this is just a few tips for you. So now let's say that there's some stuff about yourself that you really want to change. You're like, oh gosh, you know, I'm kind of working on my weight, or I wish I had a different job. I don't really like the house I live in. You know, those are things you can keep working on even while you're out there looking. You're committing to growth and development, and you're on your way. Nobody expects you to be perfect. Just be confident that you've got a lot of things to offer. Okay, so hopefully that's a good thing for getting ready. Now, the go part is when you're ready to press start on your profile, like go ahead and publish it. This is getting you into action. This is that you're committed to flirting and connecting and dating. Now, I want you to get really excited because your soulmate is out there looking for you. And if your profile looks good, they're going to see it. But there's a couple other things you can do too in case you want to do some organic dating at the same time. And when I say organic, I mean non-online. So meetups. There are meetups in almost any city. And you can find lesbian meetups in your city and in close by cities. But you can also find meetups where people have similar interests to you, and you just never know who you might meet there. You might meet someone who's really cool, who has a lesbian friend that's looking. So don't discount non-gay meetup groups. Facebook pages, there are lots of Facebook pages. Now, I would warn you on Facebook pages, sometimes, you know, you might meet someone on there and connect in some way, but they live on the other side of the country. So you've got to kind of get clear that that could happen. And then you just be pen pals unless somebody wants to move. So the first thing you want to do is tell your friends, hey, I'm single again. I'm ready to date. I'm not going to be working as hard. I'm not going to be traveling. So I'm going to be around and I'm really looking to date. Do you know anybody right now you think would be a good match for me? Also, be open in your daily life. You never know who you might meet. Your confidence will start attracting a new type of woman. And you'll be meeting people and flirting and connecting everywhere you go. So I want you to start practicing that kind of stuff. You're just out walking from your car in the parking lot to a Starbucks. You're going to smile at every single person you see in the parking lot, on your way to Starbucks, and inside. You might even compliment someone on something. It's really important that you are open. If you're looking down or afraid to talk, you're not going to attract anyone that way. Now is the time to practice your rejection skills before you're actually going to get rejected. And you know what? You are going to get rejected. There are some women that you might have one date with and that's it. They're not interested. Well, don't worry about it because there's plenty of fish in the sea, as they say. You want to know now if it's not a good match for them. Even if you think, oh my gosh, she's really great. If they don't think you're a match, then you don't want to be with someone like that. So grow your rejection muscle. There's a guy who did a TEDx talk called 100 Days of Rejection. And he did all sorts of crazy things, like he'd knock on someone's door and say, could I plant this tree in your front yard? And of course, most people would say no. Or walking along the street, say, excuse me, could I borrow $100? No, you can't. Well, when you start hearing all those no's, after a while, you're like, hey, it's no big deal. Now, you don't have a whole lot to lose like that because you almost know they're going to say no, but you are building your rejection muscle. And remember, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the idea that you're proposing. Are you waiting for people to like you? Okay. Now there's a simple, effective technique to get online dates. So if you are expecting for people to come to you, you've got to do it too. So you want to connect with someone online that now we're back to online that you see that you kind of like their looks, because let's face it, I don't care how non-superficial you may be. You are going to choose to read someone's profile only based on their picture. They don't have to be gorgeous to read their profile, but that's going to be your first impression. So if you like something about the pictures, then you might connect by complimenting them or commenting on something they say in their profile. Hopefully, that will start the conversation and keep it going. Now, I have to warn you, there are lots of times when people are on online dating sites, but they're not active. In other words, they are getting the messages in their email, but they're not reading them. Maybe they've been dating someone, or maybe they're really busy with work, or who knows what. So don't take it as a rejection if they don't respond. You're only looking for the ones they do respond. So if they do reciprocate, great. You might have a couple little conversations with them again, and then ask for a phone conversation. Now, guys, this is if you want a date. If you want an in-person person-to-person, eye-to-eye date somewhere. I don't get it, but there are a lot of people who prefer to just have conversations online. That's like pen pals. But I think most people legitimately want to have a relationship, and so that means that you eventually want to get to a meeting. So ask for the phone conversation, and then if you like, you know, what you hear on the phone and you have a couple of those, go ahead and ask for an in-person date. Say, hey, I really like talking to you and it seems like we have a lot in common. How would you like to get together for coffee or a glass of wine? And then you're going to have one of those meetings. Now, a lot of people get all freaked out and said you have to tell your friends that you're meeting someone. Well, if you've had a few conversations with them, hopefully you know they're not a serial killer or something like that. But if it makes you feel better, you could certainly let one of your friends know. I've never had to do that, but I get it. There's some crazies out there. Now, and like I said, that warning that people get off the site, they get busy, they might have met someone, or maybe they get scared like, oh my gosh, somebody wants to meet me, and they freak out. Who knows? So don't take lack of a response as a rejection. Now, I know there are scammers out there too. So this is where intuition comes in. Now, I told you intuition is super important. Your intuition will know almost instantly. It's like pinging. When someone does weird stuff, like they say, oh, I can't talk on the phone because, oh, I don't have good internet or good signal at my house, or, oh, now you're starting to wonder what's going on there. It's a little weird. Or they don't want to meet you because they make up some ridiculous story. When you start hearing these weird things that don't make sense, get out. You don't need that. There's something going on with them. If they can't meet you in person or talk to you on the phone, there's something going on. Also, if the pictures seem too good to be true, they probably are. If their profile has weird stuff in it or very little stuff in it, run. They probably are some sort of scammers. So there's all kinds of things people do. They can't meet, they can't talk, they ask for money, they don't make sense, something is off, and their explanation just doesn't make sense to you. End it, done. Your intuition is right on. So this process of ready, set could take a while. So don't rush it. It's important for you to feel like you have cleared all that past garbage, that past programming, and you're feeling like a brand new person, ready for adventure, ready to meet amazing people and to have amazing experiences. And even if these dates don't end in a relationship or even a second date, just have fun. You just met another human being. We are losing human connection with our phones. This face-to-face stuff doesn't happen very often. And people text and they don't even want to talk on the phone anymore. So this is a great opportunity for you to practice that and for you to meet human beings in person. And I cannot stress how great that can be, even if it doesn't end up in a second date or a relationship. Have fun. Maybe you'll meet your next best friend. Who knows? And then again, maybe you'll meet your next soulmate. So that go is important for you to be ready, set, before you actually start doing anything online. Okay, so some of you have already been doing this and have not had success. Take a step back and do all that previous ready, set work and maybe revise your online profile. Or better yet, you might need a break from this. People take breaks, and what they do is they do a lot of self-reflection. They hang out with friends and family. They renew acquaintances with friends and family. It's important that we have these connections of love in our life so that we don't feel lonely, even if we don't have a partner at this time. Okay, so that's it. Hope you learned some great things. Thanks for joining me today, and I had some fun with you. Bye.